Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. It's me, your non-expert Eric. And who's that sitting next to me? Well, that's you, listener. And up front in front of the bus is Metzger. Metzger, do you know what you are?
Useless.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Like, we asked me for word association, and that's just where I'm at right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that you're our expert because I'm so clever. I know so much. I'm so clever in my brain space. I'm clever.
I mean, two things can be true at once, right? I can be both useless and an expert.
And I know so because I'm clever. This is an anime podcast. We do animes here. We've been watching two different animes, as we often do. Finally, Zom 100 is back with a brand new episode. But we've been consistently trouncing our way, floundering through Jujutsu Kaisen. Metzger, why am I talking about cleverness so much?
A locust demon?
Because of a locust demon. Metzger, maybe you can give me a synopsis before I just jump the butt. Is that what it is? When I jump to the end of the episode, I get right in the caboose.
I was going to say jumping the shark, but I don't think that's what we're looking for right now.
I think I was right with jump the butt.
You put the horse before the cart.
That's stupid. The cart goes by the horse's butt.
What would I say the synopsis is? I mean, the entire synopsis of this episode is to stall by time.
What do you mean by that?
The entire point is to just keep Gojo busy until Geto can do the thing that he needs 20 minutes for.
Yeah, for sure. And Metzger, how have we been doing that? Been doing that in, let's say, a safe and ethical way where we, you know, keep innocent bystanders out or maybe
if we were the bad guys, would we be worrying about safety and ethics?
Metzger, I've only been a bad guy for a very short period of time, so I honestly don't know.
Yeah, but even as a good guy, you should know, like, how to define a bad guy by their lack of ethics.
It feels like that would imply that I either knew ethics or respected ethics, which I notoriously don't as a bad guy. I just never took the class, so I kind of defaulted to being a bad guy. You know how it be.
You know what's really odd in this moment?
Yeah?
Is that based off of Gojo's behavior, I don't know if he's got a clear code of ethics either.
Now that's interesting. Hold up. Give me more.
He's seeing quite a few of these people die, and he's not really stopping it.
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't really seem like he has any need. He doesn't feel the need to, like, actively save any of these people.
Yeah, he's not diving in the way of stuff.
He's not needlessly killing anyone.
But he's not saving anyone, either.
Yeah, definitely that.
Maybe it's Batman ethics.
What? It just, as long as he's not killing them, then it's fine?
I'm not gonna kill you, but I don't have to save you. That was in the first Night Rises movie. Christian Bale Batman. Maybe that's it. He's like, I'm not, and honestly, like, his friend was all like, the only people that matter are jujutsu sorcerers. Maybe he's kind of fallen into that camp too. He seems so uncaring. He was literally stepping on people's face.
He was doing it in a way to where it wasn't causing harm, though. He was essentially just booping them.
That's fucking rude. That's not something an ethical person would do. Can you imagine Kantian ethics? Do everything that you do as though it must become law. So then everyone steps on everyone's face. That's what we ought to do.
He wasn't stepping on their faces.
They literally stepped on a woman's face.
He was,
and then
like,
he was boop, he was, boop, boop, boop.
It was like crowd surfing.
With his
also,
foot.
Listen, you know that Gojo has the ability to create, to keep molecules, and it's not molecules, but to keep things from ever actually touching each other. So, like, she saw that she was going to be stepped on, but never was actually stepped on. He's essentially hovering over the top of them.
I mean, immediately after that, he was literally floating in the air.
Yeah.
Metzger, I feel like this episode was a lot of very intense violence that we hadn't, we kind of taken a step back from. And I know I say that, we just watched the episode with Mechamaru where he's like, big, you know, Gundam style big fight, but there's like a different layer there because, I mean, Mojito's over here just changing into a bunch of creatures. We're not really seeing like blood spatter, punch kicks, break bones, people dying kind of thing. Like, it wasn't the level of violence that, let's say, the first season of Jujutsu Kaisen kind of accustomed us to. And now there's one person who's doing blood fighting. Well, I mean, it's a lot more violent this episode, and the whole big thing is to slow him down. We also fight a big grasshopper monster.
We do. And this is, again, not to play favorites, but I'm going to play favorites. I kind of think Juju's better than Chainsaw Man.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
I at least think that the protagonist in Juju is better than the protagonist in Chainsaw Man. Like, Yuji, Itadori can both be a lovable idiot and also still not be an asshole. Where Denji is a lovable idiot, but is just absolutely an asshole. And they both have the same color hair.
Yeah. He does a lot of punches and kicks, but he doesn't use any specific technique, which is cool. I actually had kind of forgotten his powers and stuff.
Wait, you have to remember that Yuji is an everyman. Yuji is an everyman who ate a finger, wrong place, wrong time. So he's not been given like
And who among us can fault him for eating a fingy? Some of them look like chicken fingies. You just start shoving them in, you don't know what's happening.
But he doesn't have any like blood-borne sort of techniques. Like, no things that have been passed down through like the generations. Like, he can't summon spirits. He's not condemned to a bathtub via a holy pact. He's just a dude who just ate a cursed item and now has cursed power, kind of like Maki does.
Yeah.
Wait, what's her name, Maki? What is that girl's name?
I don't remember, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, the weapons specialist.
Yeah, the one who needs the glasses to see.
Sometimes I get really tempted to put on my resume that I run this podcast, but then I'm afraid that someone will come and listen to our podcast.
Tough butts!
Someone that might want to be hiring me, and they have to like listen to our problematic opinions about stuff and be like, oh.
What if this is what leads them to say yes?
I know.
Because right now they're saying no. It can only get better.
Can it?
I wouldn't put this on your resume.
Exactly. Thank you.
Unless it's for a podcasting job.
We have two different mentalities, I guess, is what is being demonstrated to us in this fight. Gojo is very cool, under control. His emotions are not coming into play on this one. He's not letting the fact that they're killing people in the subway or using these humans against him. That's not a driving force for him, at least out like extrinsically. But for Itadori, this is a very like extrinsic driving force. When he walks down into that subway and Cricket Man is treating that human dude like one of those like cheap ice pops.
Gross.
He gets real upset about it. And
he wasn't happy.
That was his driving force. And he let that hang out on his sleeve. And I don't know if this is the kind of shonen where like that use of passion is going to be what breaks the fight, like in Itadori's favor, or if this is the kind of anime where that brazenness and that passion is going to lead to him getting severely injured. Because he wants Mahito.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I'm worried that he's not ready for the Mahito fight. Like, I mean, he's not been, like, he's no Gojo, right? Like,
yeah. Felt like a little bit of a nothing burger of an episode for me. Like, the fight was very nice. But then even at the end, they cliffhang you with Geto being like, I need about 20 minutes. Mostly, like, what Geto pretty much outright tells them, you're not going to beat Gojo. But I just need you to keep him in close contact and in your sight for 20 minutes.
If I'm being honest, I got home from work and I had just a bit before judo. And that was when I was watching my two episodes for this week. And I've been having kind of long days at work, been having some kind of stressy spaghetti times as my workplace is kind of undergoing a transition. And weirdly, that's all been put on me. And so I needed a little bit of a nap. So I'm over here watching this episode and, like, honestly kind of drifting off just a little bit. I watched the entire episode. I did not miss a thing. But my eyes wanted to close. And after I finished watching Zom 100, I did, in fact, take a 30-minute nap where I woke up and didn't know what year I was in. I mean, that. All that being said, this episode, when you say it was a nothing burger for you, I kind of get it. Metzger, before we move on to the next episode, we gotta do something. When I think about where I want to get my interactions, because you gotta fill up your social bar, and the people, they say, oh, I don't have a social. You got a social bar. Some people's just a little bit smaller. It fills faster. Other people, maybe you got an endless social bar. Everybody got a social bar. We are social creatures. Just because you're an introvert don't mean you ain't got no social bar. Don't be trying to sell me on that. That's not true. Is you got to have closer kind of friends, keep it tight, you know. Anyways, I don't know what keep it tight means. That's a tough butts. So I'm over here. And I think to myself, well, where am I going to find that social interaction? Well, that's social media. That's me, you, and weeboo.wordpress.com. That's on Twitter. You can find us at anime_bus and on Instagram at anime_tourbus. That's where I would go for all of my needs. No other places. If you follow anyone else, we will fight that person. If you follow Elon Musk, set it up. Metzger will fight Elon Musk.
No.
Metzger, I've actually already started selling tickets. We actually are legally obligated to now.
Time to refund.
We actually can't. It was no refunds. We paid. We used Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster does issue refunds for certain things.
Yeah, but not this. And actually, the contract was pretty strict. I didn't read it fully, but apparently, if you don't perform, they get your soul.
Good luck finding it.
Ticketmaster is the devil, and if you don't perform the contract as specified, they will punish you for all eternity.
Okay, so Zom 100.
Metzger, what would your superhero costume look like?
Not anything in this episode.
Are you sure?
I'm sure that I would not dress up like a period accurate samurai.
Metzger, but you are in this podcast a Japanophile.
Yeah.
And I am, well, I mean, like, I'm literally wearing judo pants right now, so I can't talk shit. I just got back, and my pants are sweaty. Metzger, I also do a little bit of Japan time, but you are our Japanophile, and you're telling me that if offered the opportunity, you would not get into a full samurai suit of armor and swing pole arms at zombies.
Okay, so I am telling you that because this character is blonde, I would cosplay at a convention as this character.
I was going to say, this character is basically you, Metzger. She's German you. I could straight up see you saying Danke rather than like answering people like normally. Like you would just like for no reason. No, you in a full suit of samurai armor. If I saw that, I would be like, yeah, that adds up.
I mean, I would take like insult to it, but she seems like a pretty cool character. Also, she goes on long rants about stuff. That tracks for me, too. I have a tendency to just, like, fact bomb people.
And the fact that she goes so fucking hard on it, like, giving the background character, like, the periods with which, like, the dynasties were... Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. And the fact, Metzger, the piece, the icing on this cake for me... is the fact that she obsessed and worked super hard to be able to go to Japan, and the second she got there, there was a zombie apocalypse.
That's why I can't go to Japan. It's because it would literally end the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was the best part for me. She did get to eat her like sushi though.
She did. She cried about it. She was moved to tears, and then that moved the sushi chef to tears.
Okay!
In this episode, we are still on a road trip, and we're still marking things off the list. Like, actually, they do some, like, riverside yoga. Akira is, like, very happy that he's managed to do, like, 15 out of 100 things, like, in this leg of the road trip in, like, a week. And... they bump into a big crowd of zombies and a truck, and the truck's got a flat tire, and Akira's like, well, obviously I gotta suit up into my shark suit and I gotta beat these zombies down. And then the door of the truck kicks open and out comes a full fucking samurai. And with a, what is that, a pike?
That's not a pike. Naginata is what it's technically called.
They start asking her questions. She explains that she is German and that she is a huge weeb and that she has come to Japan to right when the world is ending. And she's got this truck full of fish, Eric. And what are we doing with this truck full of fish?
To have traditional.
So we're not bringing it to like survivors to like feed an encampment. We're not doing like good for humanity?
No. It is for our own delicious eatins.
Dude, leave it to a blonde chick to like call around post-apocalypse to see if any restaurants are still open.
Are you guys still serving? Even if it's like takeout, I listen, I'm hungry.
She's like, look, I'll bring my own stuff.
Do you need? Oh, it's because you don't have fish. I'm on my way with your delivery.
2/3 of the group is thinking that there's no point in doing this. But Akira, while only being 1/3 of the group, has a bonus skill of motivator and can easily turn the tides of a discussion. And that just so happens to be one of the things on his bucket list before he turns into a zombie. I do like that he's developed a catchphrase, which is, if I can't do X, I would rather be a zombie, and then runs off into danger.
He's using it for, like, you know, manipulative means, because, he's used it several times, and immediately, like, gone and done the psychotic thing. Our risk assessment girl has softened pretty significantly.
She is, and she's gone from like risk assessment to overall strategist.
Yeah. And now she's like creating plans, using gas tanks and stuff, Molotov cocktails. Yeah. She had the fan and was making like some reference to Japanese history.
She's making a reference to, are you ready for this? Because I know exactly who she's referencing.
Yeah.
Kong Ming.
Okay. From the Ming Dynasty.
No.
Okay. That's the only one that I know, and that's because it was on Mulan. But that is China, so my bad.
Well, Kong Ming is a Chinese statesman.
Ah, oh, fuck yeah, I was right. Yeah, so we have a fun adventure getting sushi, fighting the zombies and stuff like that. And that was one half of the ZAM 100. The second half, Metzger. Okay, so this first half, there were... The way the titties were drawn in the first half of the episode... I think was what we in the biz call foreshadowing. Because in the second episode, we get a lot of nudity.
They go to a hot spring. Like, is all that it is.
Metzger, when I jump...
Is this your first time encountering a hot spring in an anime?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't believe that. I can't believe I've somehow managed to keep you this pure this entire time.
So when I played Ghosts of Tsushima, the hot springs were a weirdly fundamental part of the game. And through that, I got like a little bit of an inkling that like hot springs were like a big deal. Well, but no, this is the first time I've seen it in an anime. And then, guess what? My book, the main character in it is Japanese-American. Japanese Australian. There we go. But he's part Japanese, and he was making a joke to another character in the book that like, oh man, we should have a hot springs episode and stuff like that. Basically saying that like the book was an anime. He says a lot of wild things in the books, but he literally made that reference directly after I watched this episode. Like, I was like, oh, there's layers here. So apparently, animes are full of hot springs episodes.
We should talk about the cultural importance of communal bathing.
Okay.
In Japan...
Big weird soup that a lot of people are in.
Well, okay, so the first aspect of this is when you're engaging in a communal bath or in a hot springs, you are actually supposed to shower and clean yourself before getting in. And you do not bring any products into the bath with you.
Yeah.
Like, the baths are usually treated with minerals to be a relaxing thing. And bathing in Japan is a culturally significant experience.
Now, let me just kind of, I have to relate my life to this in order to understand. So when I recently went to a pool next to a gym that I frequent near me, and the pool is owned by the gym. There was a smaller kind of adults only kind of pool and things like that. And when I was there, I was kind of like hanging out, just enjoying the sun rays. Having a nice time, and I watched this woman dip her Crocs into the water that other people were swimming in and swish it around, seemingly in order to clean off her Crocs.
Ooh.
So you're telling me that wouldn't be allowed in a Japanese bath?
That would 100%. Like, you know how with American like public pools, like it is highly encouraged that you shower before you enter them?
Yeah.
But it's not a requirement.
Yeah.
It is a requirement when you go to a Japanese bath.
Okay, this is going to be... I have, me, Eric Miller, never peed in a swimming pool. Ever. Like, even from a young age, I've never done it. Okay. And yet, I hear that every other person ever has done it. And I didn't realize that until I was legally an adult.
This says a lot about you in a way that this podcast always manages to bring out.
I'm not sure what it says, but listen, it's
to go back to our anime. So there's like multiple tiers of this bathing experience. There is the personal bathtub that now most households have. And then there is a neighborhood bath, which is called a sento. And it's where you have to pay to use the bathing facilities. And they're divided by gender, but they're man-made bathing houses. And then there is like the upper echelon, which is the naturally occurring hot springs in some mountain communities.
Yeah, this looked cool as hell.
And they are. They're very expensive to visit. They're very nice. It is a vacation to visit a hot spring. So you see why he's like, I would rather be a zombie than not experience this hot spring.
Everybody wants the hot spring time. Like, everybody. And, Monsieur, the girl's one is the pump's not working.
It's not working. And even then, that doesn't matter because guess what? The male one's full of zombies. But we somehow just didn't see them.
First off, insane. The first thing I would be looking for is, are there zombies in this water? That's crazy to me. Secondly, there was a point, like, when they said, like, they both acted very cool, and they're like, well, these are tough times. Listen, we can all be mature about that. Like, yeah. they both act so chill. Meanwhile, inside, they're like, we want to see them titties.
Yeah, they're trying to be very suave to convince the ladies to.
And I felt that so hard. Like, that is an Eric move. They rolled for Eric. And they rolled as high as Eric rolled.
They inevitably get chased up a cliffside. And decide,
which is exactly what would happen.
Yeah, this is still rolling for Eric. Like, they got a nat 20 on an Eric roll.
Yeah. So they find themselves on a cliffside. We get them panting and frustrated and all that, then immediately asleep. And the first thing I noticed was that the risk assessment girl was gone. And
I knew exactly where this was going.
For sure, we both did. But what surprised me was that it wasn't like he saw her like and like, oh, oops, and kind of instance. He was in the water fully.
Yeah.
And then bumped into her. Like, okay.
No, you shut up. You stop talking. You shut up. You listen.
Okay.
This proves my point.
Yeah.
Remember in the RV episode where you're like, there's no way they didn't notice each other. And it's like, no, Akira would never notice her. And she was hoping that if she just was there, she wouldn't be noticed. So her shock and surprise came from being noticed. Here we are again. He should realize that she's missing. He should have seen her. Her back was to him. Like, he should have noticed her, but he didn't. So he's surprised because he noticed her. And she's surprised. In that instance, she's relaxing. She's enjoying a very nice bath. She's
vibing.
Yeah. So she's just caught up. For all I know, she dozed off. She was sleeping.
I honestly like how they saw each other, or they kind of like met up with each other, because it would have been weird if like he saw her but she didn't see him, kind of thing, or like, you know, it made kind of a weird interaction. But with them both in the pool and them inevitably being on the other side of the rock and interacting with each other, it actually made for a very like wholesome and nice conversation.
It really did. Usually in anime, there's at least always one joke about the men trying to see into the women's hot spring, or if they're like out camping and the women are bathing, the men usually, there's some joke somewhere about the men trying to see the women. So yeah, it was kind of nice that the joke was a little bit different, where it was the men suavely trying to convince the women to bathe with them.
Yeah. And honestly, I was cheering him on.
Yeah. Me and the producer weren't.
I was adding guidance to their role. No, it was very funny. And then obviously our one girl, our German girl is down to clown, go with the experience. And even has historical reason for
Germany,
it.
And she's like, no, your culture, she clearly misunderstands their intentions and just is no, your culture says that public nudity is fine.
And she's fucking ripped. She's got abs under there too. She big titty, but solid abs. And there's even jokes about that made in the earlier episode of the one girl being like, I wish I had your problem, as her boobs are spilling out. But eventually our other two friends join in and our one guy's upset. Why didn't you tell me you two been banging? And to which they're horrified to hear him say that. And then the one girl's like, ah, fuck yeah, you guys were keeping this one a secret from me, jumps in into the thing. And we get a skinny dipping kind of outro. Just our group together bathing in the moonlight.
Skinny dipping, as it doesn't hold the same connotations that it would in our culture.
Oh, for sure. It's skinny dipping adjacent.
It's really not.
Okay. Well, listener, I hope that you've had fun. I hope that you at some point go skinny dipping in a way that isn't a crime. Or that you're arrested for, or I listen, listener, be safe in this economy. Listener, we love and care about you. We thank you for hanging out with us. We hope that you've had a fun time. We hope you continue watching these episodes with us because we enjoy them.
Even if you don't watch the animes with us, come back and listen.
Hang out. We'll describe it for you.
It's not honestly a test. We're not your professors. You're not going to get a grade.
Honestly, we're a little bit better than the animes. And I hate to be the person to say that, but we're just a little bit, it's a little bit better to listen to us, because where else would you get the deep pool croc insights? Miss Grappin watching One Piece, the live action One Piece.
My God, shut it down. Bye, listener. Bye. Bye.